You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The Lutheran Hour presents a message by Pastor Ken Klaus titled, Who is This Jesus? Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The empty tomb of the Savior should leave no doubt in our minds. Jesus Christ, our heaven-sent substitute, has conquered sin, death, and devil. Now, sending the Holy Spirit upon this sad and sorry world, he calls us to be his own. He calls us to find the right answer to his question, Who do you say I am? He waits to hear us say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, my substitute, my Lord. The children from the church Sunday school were making their annual presentation of the Christmas story. All had gone well until they reached that point in time when they wanted to show the holiness of the newborn Savior. At the right moment, the student who controlled all the lights was to throw all the switches but one. That single switch controlled a small light bulb placed in the manger. The light from that single source would be most impressive for the folks watching. That was what was supposed to happen. Unfortunately, the boy, who was to turn off all the lights but one, got rattled. He hit all the switches. The congregation, thrown into pitch blackness, sat in stunned silence. That's when one of the shepherds, a third grader, said in a whisper that carried through the entire church, Hey, you switched off Jesus! For the boy, switching off Jesus was an accident. That is not the case for a great many religions which deliberately and defiantly switch off the Savior who gave his life on the cross so that humanity might have eternal life. For far too many, the light that was and is Jesus has been turned down, turned off, and unplugged. But you know, today, I really don't care about what other religions say about Jesus or how they switch off the Savior's light. I do care how you answer Jesus' question, Who do you say I am? I want to know, who is this Jesus to you? For the boy in my opening story, switching off Jesus was an accident. That is not the case for a great many segments of society who have deliberately and defiantly switched off the Savior who suffered and died for them so that they might live in paradise, free from pain and problems. Last month, as I was traveling to the 100th anniversary celebration of my friends at Zion Lutheran Church in Pierce, Nebraska, I overheard a good-natured, albeit enthusiastic, conversation between some friends. The topic of conversation, would Jesus drive a sports utility vehicle? The argument put forth suggested a social-conscious, extremely human Jesus would conserve gasoline, avoid polluting the environment, and drive a fuel-efficient vehicle. Nowhere in the discussion did anyone put forward the idea that an all-powerful Jesus, if he wished, could bring into existence a car that would run on air and put out no pollution at all. For the folks involved in the discussion, Jesus was not the Son of God. He was not the Savior of the world. For them, Jesus was just a protector of the ozone, a good example worthy of ecological emulation. It is not the first time that the Christ has been kidnapped from the cross and forced into some sort of social servitude. It will not be the last. When Jesus walked among us, some wished to kidnap him and make him their king. He rejected those overtures. He was on another mission, a higher mission, the Heavenly Father's mission to feed a starving world with the bread of life. For the boy in my story, switching off the Jesus light was an accident. That is not the case for a fair number of contemporary Christian leaders who, motivated by wish and whimsy, have tried to reshape Jesus into something he never was. The last century saw Jesus remade into a conservative, a liberal, a supporter of the Nazi Party, and a gun-carrying Marxist revolutionary. On the banks of the Jordan River, John the Baptist pointed and then proudly proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Yet if you listen to these preachers, you will quickly see that they, for all practical purposes, ignore the Lamb even as they uplift themselves. When Scripture says, "Repent and be baptized," these misdirected pastors with their new time religion suggest you should relax and be tranquilized. When Jesus said, "If you want to be my disciple, you will pick up your cross and follow me," these preachers present a discipleship free from any cross-carrying. Too many pulpits present a Jesus who bears little resemblance to the suffering Savior, the risen Lord. Search the Scripture to see if what I'm saying is not true. Too many parishes offer a philosophy that promotes Christianity without Christ, religion without rebirth, heaven without hell, salvation without a Savior, and forgiveness without repentance. With a theology that minimizes Christ's divinity, even as it emphasizes his humanity, it's not surprising to see these preachers praising themselves and their own ministry rather than the Savior and his message of mercy. Praise is focused on what they're doing rather than what the Savior has done. But what these polluted preachers think of Jesus is not the focus of today's message. No, I want to know, how will you answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" I want to know, who is this Jesus to you? For the boy in my opening story, switching off Jesus' light was an accident. That is not the case for a great many individuals who commit themselves to turning off the Lord's light. These are those who prefer to deliberately deny and disregard the Lord Jesus who has died so all might have joy and peace in this world and the next. I'm amused by the fact that those who don't believe in God spend so much time talking about him. They spend more time talking about Jesus than do most Christians. Give them half an opportunity and they will regurgitate reams of reasons why you are ridiculous for following the Savior. When it comes to those people who believe that there is no God, I'm amused by the mental picture of their Thanksgiving Day celebration. The bird is on the table, the fixings are set out, and they have no one to thank for the bounty. They're all dressed up with nowhere to go. They're ready for Thanksgiving with nobody to thank. I know it's a little strange, but such silliness makes me smile. I might even laugh out loud if the situation into which these fools have placed themselves were not so sad. You see, I feel sorry for those who say there is no God. I'm distressed by the fact that their belief, as strong as it may be, their position, as opinionated as it might be, their arguments, as numerous as they seem to be, do not change the fact. How did Peter say it? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm dismayed that all too often unbelievers' opinions are not based on the Savior of Scripture, but upon hearsay, half-truths, mistakes, and misinterpretations. Maybe something went wrong in their lives and they blamed God. Maybe a church or a pastor or a teacher didn't live up to their expectations and they walked away from the Lord. Maybe they think that they, with their advanced intellect, could do a better job of running and redeeming the world than God has up to this point in time. Yes, I'm saddened by those who have consciously and knowingly switched off the light of Jesus. It's a dangerous and damning thing to do. That's why the sermon is dedicated to asking you Jesus' question. Who do you say I am? I want to know, who is this Jesus for you? Who do you say I am? Was the question Jesus asked of his disciples. He wanted to know what people in general and the disciples in particular thought about him. For almost 2 years they had watched as Jesus had cast out demons, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, calmed the storms, raised the dead, fed the multitudes, and walked on water. Having seen all of this, Peter, by the Spirit's direction and revelation, spoke for them all when he answered, "Who are you? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's answer was the right one. It was the only one. Any other answer, no matter how well-intentioned, no matter how sincere, is horribly, terribly wrong. Let me explain what I mean. One afternoon, a little boy decided he would help his father. He had heard his dad say that the car was low on gas. Well, this little boy knew how to fill the tank. It wasn't complicated. The boy had watched his father do it 100 times. With confidence, the boy removed the gas cap, got the garden hose. It was just like the hose at the pump, and squeezed the hose nozzle. It, too, looked like the nozzle at the gasoline station. Then the boy proceeded to fill the gas tank with water. Then he waited. With a smile, he waited for his dad to start the car, to see that the gauge now read full. Waited for his dad to thank him for his kindly efforts. You know what happened. Dad tried to start the car, it sputtered and died, and Dad didn't say thank you. Similarly, when people, organizations, churches, pastors try to improve on the simple message of salvation, which comes through God's grace and love, when they try to remake, remodel, and recycle the Savior, when they try to fill their souls with anything other than the Lord's great love, no matter how good their intentions might be, they are creating a disaster. No, far better for us to forget our improvements and let our perfect God take care of things through His perfect Son. Far better for us to set aside our upgrades and let the Lord, who first had pity on sinners in the Garden of Eden, implement His generous plan of salvation that comes through faith in our substitute, Jesus. Anything we can do, anything we can add, will only confuse, corrupt, and complicate the Savior's simple message, which says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So I want to know from you, just like the Savior wanted to know from His disciples, who is this Jesus for you? I would like to know, is Jesus your Savior? I realize that's a very personal question. I wouldn't ask it if your answer to this question wasn't so important. Is Jesus your Savior? Oh, why is it important? It's important because the truth is, you're going to die. At that moment, if Jesus isn't your Savior, if you don't know that He was born into this world for you, lived for you, suffered for you, died for you, you will be lost. The pain of that permanent lostness will be more than you can bear. And this lostness would be so unnecessary. It can be avoided completely if Jesus is your Savior. So is He? Who do you say Jesus is? Who is this Jesus for you? Remember, if Jesus had been born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and He was never born in your heart, then you're still lost. So is Jesus your Savior? Who do you say He is? It may be possible you think you have a great deal of time. On April 20th, 1999, Cassie Bernal, a junior at Columbine High in Littleton, Colorado, was a typical teenager having a typical day. To look at her, you would have thought she had a great deal of time, an entire lifetime stretching out ahead of her. She should have had time to mature, fall in love, have a family, grow old. That time was taken away from her when a classmate pointed a gun at her and asked if she believed in God. She said yes. A second later, she was dead. Cassie had the right answer. She knew who Jesus was. Jesus was her Savior. Of course, it's true you might, as lifetimes are measured, have a fair amount of time on your clock. You may reach the age of 80 or 90 or even 100 plus, but no matter how long your lifeline, it will run out. On that day, it won't matter how rich you are, how accomplished you are, how admired you are, how heavily insured you are, or how loved you are. Listen, in 1989, Zita, the last empress of Austria and the last queen of Hungary, died. The day of her funeral, 8,000 mourners filed out of Vienna's St. Stephen's Cathedral and fell in line behind the hearse drawn by 6 black horses. 2 hours later, the procession concluded at the Capuchin Church. There, in keeping with tradition, a member of the funeral party knocked on the door and a priest asked, "Who goes there?" Zita's titles were read aloud. Zita, Queen of Bohemia, Dalmatia, Croatia, Slovenia, Galicia, Queen of Jerusalem, Grand Duchess of Tuscany and Krakow. "I do not know her," came the voice from within the crypt. The funeral group knocked a second time. "Who goes there?" "Empress Zita," was the more simple reply given. Still, the door remained shut. The mourners knocked yet a third time. "Who is there?" Zita, a poor sinner, was the answer. That answer was the right answer, and the procession was allowed to enter. During the course of her long life, Zita had seen history swirl around her. She was nobility. She was acclaimed. But on the day of death, all of these things were meaningless. Only one thing was important. What did she think of Jesus? It will be no different for you. Do you know who Jesus is? Is Jesus your Savior? Why do I care? Because somebody a long time ago cared enough to share the Savior with me. Since that day, a great many other people, men and women alike, have reinforced that love which God has given me, quite undeserved, because of the sacrifice of His Son. I did nothing to earn it. Couldn't do a thing to get it. God gave me His Son to save me and be with me. Jesus is by my side, not just at the time of death, although that would be enough for me to love Him and talk about Him to others. Jesus is with me right now, as He's always been. Can I tell you what it means to have someone who understands me, forgives me, and stands by my side no matter what? Do you have such a friend? If Jesus isn't your Savior, you don't. He watches over me. He listens to me. He cares. Do you have someone who does that for you? You don't. Not if Jesus isn't your Savior. You know, the amazing thing is Jesus, who made all the sacrifices to save you, wants you more than you want Him. Imagine, He waits for you. He sends His Holy Spirit to call you. Haven't you procrastinated and hesitated long enough? Is Jesus your Savior? What do you think of Jesus? Is it possible that something inside you is stopping you? Is there a smart aleck thought running through your brain that says, I'm not that bad, I really don't need a Savior? Come on, you know better. You know, if you're honest with yourself, you need what Jesus has to offer. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Who do you say He is? Is it possible that even now you think there is a loophole in this salvation thing? Do you hold back because you think there must be another way? Why would you think that? Listen, when I was in grade school, all of the classes were brought together in the school basement. There a nurse gave each of us a cube of sugar with some medicine on it. We sort of understood that this was the polio preventative that had been discovered by Dr. Jonas Salk and his team. It stopped us from getting polio. You know, not a single parent stopped their child from getting the medicine. Not a single student protested. Nobody said, hold on a minute. This medicine might be a good thing, but I'm not going to take it unless they give it to me a different way. That attitude would have been so wrong. Polio was too terrible. The medicine was so simple, the cost to us was so low. Of course we would not turn it down. My friend, Jesus is giving you the medicine, the free medicine that can save you from sin, Satan, and death. He offers the medicine that assures you that you will be eternally healthy. Don't look around for a substitute medicine. Jesus works. Jesus is here. What do you think of Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? If you need more facts or a listening ear, there are people at Lutheran Hour Ministries that are waiting to help. They are ready to point you in the right direction to the Savior. Today is the day to answer the question, what do you think of Jesus? Today is the day to say, He is my Savior and my Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, call 1-800-876-9880. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.